Are you wearing a nerd shirt for us? Is that like Dunder Mifflin on it?
It is. Because I was going to tell you, this is my nerd out.
Oh, love it.
It's The Office.
Oh, I love it.
This is it. Yeah.
I almost wore my assistant to the regional manager. Oh, I love it. I have an assistant to the regional manager shirt, and I almost put it on. But I'm like, I'll go with X-Men today.
That's awesome. Yeah, this one, I'm not to the point where I could quote every episode, but it's pretty close.
Okay, then you're in the right room, because we quote it, at least every cast will quote The Office. We've done like 50 of these, and we have at least one quote from The Office.
Perfect. Then I'm in the right place. I will say my latest one, I don't know if this counts as a binge. It took me maybe, I don't know, 2 months. Does that count as a binge to watch a series in 2 months? But whatever it is, I just recently watched Community.
Oh, yeah. We're huge Community fans.
Is that another one?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Perfect. Even better. Yeah. Hayes, you were already like a 10. Now you're at an 11 for us. Oh, my goodness.
No. Now it can only go downhill. So. But, yeah, that was Community was awesome. Right? And I kind of just fell into it at random, I think, with just so much time on my hands like everyone else right now. And I thought, I'm going to check this out. I've heard it's kind of quirky and offbeat a little bit. And, man, I loved it. Yeah.
I know Kung Fu.
Show me.
Tell me, do you bleed? You should have gone for the head.
That's what she said.
You're a wizard, Harry.
I'm Pickle Rick!
I am the father.
Ew, David.
I feel like...
How's it going, Gary?
It's going good. I was just going to say, I feel like when I first watched A Quiet Place and I saw Jim with a beard, I was like, wow, that's how I feel like seeing you with a beard right now.
Yeah,
like,
I know. This is like the COVID look. And it's actually my first beard.
Really?
I've never grown a beard before. Because as you can see, it's not a great one. It gets a little patchy. But with this going on, I thought, what the hell? I've got nothing else to do. I'm just going to let everything grow. Yeah.
Quarantine.
So I don't really know how to, I don't know how to trim one really. I was YouTubing like how to groom a beard the other day because I have no idea. And I did buy my first beard brush the other day, which has been pretty amazing.
I love that. Yeah. My beard, I don't grow longer than this because it doesn't get much thicker. So I keep it very trim.
This is purely experimental. So I haven't, you guys will have to judge if it's worth it or not. But yeah.
I think it looks good.
No, it looks amazing. Awesome. I'm the beard expert here. It's like this took me 2 days. I just shaved the other day. And it grows back.
Really?
Yeah, that Italian side kicks in quick. I was gonna do one for quarantine, but it itches so bad. And then I just kept touching my face, and I'm like, that defeats the purpose of all this COVID stuff. So I had
I know it. I know. I've found the masks too. Like it's. Or now that all this going on, I never realized how much I reached to touch my face. I don't know if y'all have had that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you go like, why am I touching my face 40 times in an hour? But yeah, so I've had to check myself on how often I'm reaching for something on my face. Yeah.
Oh, I do it all the time. I like get it there and then I like look at my hand like.
Yes.
My eyes get big.
I know. Now you're looking at it like this enemy. Like, no, don't do it. Which then of course makes it's like, don't laugh in church. You just want to do it more.
Right.
That you can't.
Right. Yeah. So then I start doing like this weird, like, I don't know, scratching with, you know, I don't know. It's funny.
Right. Yeah, man. It's interesting times right now. I keep telling my wife, what a time to be alive. Cause it is bizarre. But,
right. I tell people you get to go to the bank to wear a mask. When are you ever going to do that again in your life? Like I did it. I didn't even have to really go into the bank, but I went in there just to get away with it. Like I'm wearing a mask at a bank.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I keep thinking of like someone's going to write some kind of script involving like this mandatory mask thing and some kind of heist or whatever. So I'm sure someone's banging out on the keyboard right now.
Yeah. I thought about that too. Like how much easier would it be to pull off a big heist if everyone was just wearing masks? Cause you just have to look a little similar to someone and have like a full blown mask and goggles. And it's like, I'm pretty sure that was him. The normal cleaning guy.
I think we've kind of just outlined the first act of something, so we should probably all put the rest together.
Love it. You're starring. We'll produce it.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
That might be a step backwards in his career.
No. No way, not at all.
Okay, I was gonna say, I don't know if you had a chance to look at all our the questions people asked you on Instagram. I know
I did.
We mentioned you in a story.
I'm bad about getting on Instagram, but I did. I thought, yeah, I'm gonna see. Yeah, so I did get a chance to see some of those.
Okay,
so,
cool.
Yeah,
I did, some of them are gonna come out of left field. There's one or two we didn't share, and I'm like debating whether or not we even ask you. Like, just it comes with having a following. Like, people ask weird questions.
you know what I mean? If it's worth just getting the facial reaction, ask me.
Okay. Okay.
Whenever we get to it, yeah.
I private messaged him back, and I was like, are you asking what I think you're asking, or is this like a film, like, jargon?
Yeah, like he only has to wear it for 5 minutes. Yeah,
exactly. Is this a request or a question?
right. Yeah.
Should we just get started? I mean, I feel like we've already started, you know. I've laughed four times now, so.
I know, my face is sore already, so we got to fight through it. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I really appreciated, in the spirit of community and the Dean, we titled the first portion of our cast A Brief History, which, you know, was...
Love it.
Yeah, we're trying to chang things up for you a little bit.
Yeah, love it, man.
So actually, I wanted to ask, it's Hayes Mercure, right? Am I pronouncing
Mercure,
it right?
Mercure, yes. And I've gotten every pronunciation of both Hayes and Mercure under the sun. So the fact that you nailed it is pretty good.
Well, I may have looked it up.
You wouldn't believe what I've got.
Yeah, this may just be for our casters, you know, like I'm asking it knowing the answer. Who's to say?
Yeah. And so the last name, I remember when I was a kid, so my father's a retired Delta pilot, but he flew international for a while and was going to Paris a lot. And he used to come home and say, hey, you know, there's a Hotel Mercure in Paris, you know, there's a whole chain. And I thought we were like royalty. And then I got a little bit older and found out it's equivalent to like a Holiday Inn Express. But so that's still like my claim to fame, though. I was like, there's a Hotel Mercure chain over in Paris.
Right. There's, yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
There's someone with the last
name.
Whatever,
I'll take what I can get.
Right. There's someone with the last name Holiday in Asia who thinks he's a celebrity here, you know? Kind of that turned on its head.
Exactly. Yeah.
Johnny, why don't you start us off a little bit? I've been chatting a bit.
No, you've been doing great. All right. Hey, so we'll start super, super simple. Did you like act in high school? What got you into acting?
No. So I quick background is I was jock all the way in high school, like doing the sports. And I think I maybe attended one of our school's plays. But it was always an interest, but I never a bit on it because probably of that stereotypical didn't want to get made fun of if the football player is trying to go do a musical.
Exactly.
And so I probably let the fear of social pressure keep me out of it. But then I was fortunate enough to play football through college. And so kind of let that take me through college and then came out of school and I knew I wanted to do something service-based. I wasn't sure what that was. So I started exploring a lot of options, the Marines and the Army, Air Force, kind of all of the branches. I was thinking about, as I mentioned, my father is a pilot. I come from a long line of aviation. Both grandfathers were World War II pilots. My mother's father was a Delta pilot. Dad's a Delta pilot. And my brother's currently a Delta pilot. So it's like a huge line of aviation. So I thought about maybe doing that in the military. My eyesight kept me out of that. And then long story short, I ended up being a firefighter, EMT, out of college. And did that for a couple years. And then got the age-old question one day, literally, as cliche as it sounds, like loading hose in the back of a truck after a fire and talking to one of the firefighters. And that question came up like, hey, what would you do if, like, you know, we weren't getting paid some terrible pay or the fire department, what would you be doing? And I thought, you know what, that acting itch is still there. So at the time, I mean, this was in 06, I guess. So, you know, the Atlanta community was nothing what it is now in terms of acting. There was maybe like one or two acting studios. So I just picked one, I think the first Google search. And I literally Googled how to be an actor is how I got into this because I had no idea. And I thought, I'm just going to type it in and see what comes up, and somehow landed on this studio in Atlanta and took a class. And I guess the bug bit at that point and kind of went full steam ahead at that point. So I was 24, I guess, at the time. And just decided I'm going to do this. And it was an awkward exit interview at the fire department with our chief. Because I kind of, he was like, so why are you leaving us? I said, well, I'm actually going to go be in a play. I just got cast in. He was like, what the hell are you talking about? You're going to leave this for the play? I was, yeah, of course I am. So that's, that was 06. So here we are. Kind of just been the grind ever since then. But that's how I got into just a firefighter, asking that question that everyone probably asked themselves, like, what would you do if money weren't an object or it didn't matter? And here I am. So
that's really cool, because like a lot of people
from there, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, a lot of people, like, they dream to be a fireman. Like, that's their end goal.
Right.
Like, I know, to get to that level.
Yeah. Right. I kind of took the reverse approach. Yeah. And so, but my chief, to his credit, he was very gracious in the exit interview. And he said, hey, just go play one on TV. And he was like, let us know when you do it. So he was cool about it. And then, so from there, that's about the time, I guess, in 08. I just stayed in a play, an ongoing play here in Atlanta, for about 9 months, I guess, was the first role I ever booked. And that was by pure luck, I'm pretty sure. And then the tax incentive program opened up here in Atlanta in 08. And that's when things really got busy, not necessarily for me, but for this area. But then I kind of put a pause on everything. And I went and trained over in London for a year at a theater school there. And because I thought, you know what, if I'm going to make this a lifelong journey, I better go get some real training under my belt. And the teacher that I was working with here at the time, she said, look, just go London or Australia. Don't look anywhere else. And so I actually flew to London just for an audition for this school. So that's like my record. That's the furthest I've gone now for an audition, is Atlanta to London. But luckily it worked out. Yeah.
Man, I know. Well, talk about being, like you said, luck. I mean, you know, you said you're originally from Atlanta, right?
I am. Yes. Yeah, so I mean, have to talk about like coming around to your backyard. Yeah.
Holy cow. Yeah,
exactly. Like, you couldn't get any better of a situation than that. And I kind of missed a lot of it too, because, you know, I was in London for a year and then I came back and I spent one more year in Atlanta, and then I took off to LA for 6 years, a little over 6 years. Yeah. And that's, but then I met my wife, we had our daughter, and then we decided, she was just coincidentally from the South as well, from Mississippi and Florida. So we thought, you know what, there's so much work going on back in Atlanta, and she's not in the acting world, but for me, there was so much going on here. Our families were from here. So in 2017, we made the migration back here. So, but yes, in Atlanta now is just, well, I guess nothing's going on right now, but prior to the shutdown, it was nonstop here. Yeah.
That's so cool. That's kind of trippy almost. I was going to ask, or I was going to say, have you, because you have played firefighters, I've looked through your bio pretty extensively. You've played firefighters, EMTs. It's kind of ironic. Have you gone back and told your firefighter chief, have you told him, like, hey, check out my role? Or,
you know, I will say, I haven't to him, but some of the firefighters, you know, we keep in touch on Facebook or whatnot. And they've all reached out saying, hey, I saw you on this. Or, hey, man, you're still doing that thing. And, you know, the acting thing, as everyone calls it. So yeah, they have kept in touch some, which has been really cool.
That is cool. Yeah. That's way sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
You a hard time where they're like, that's not how we do it. Come on.
I mean, you can imagine how much they bust the ball. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yes. Yeah. And I caught a lot too about, you know, when I was sort of on my final shift and the guys going like, what are you doing after this? Like, well, I'm actually going to go be in a play.
Yeah. I imagine how that went over.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because you can imagine the fire department, you catch hell for anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that one probably took the cake for them for a while. Yeah.
I was, what was I going to say? There was, so along the lines of that, like being a firefighter and everything else, are there ever times where you're filming as an EMT or a firefighter and the director tells you to do something or the script tells you to do something and you're kind of like, what? Like, I'm not going to do that. Or, like, is it just come off super weird all the time?
Yeah. Or most of the time what happens is that if they find that out, they usually go, what should you say here? What should you do?
Oh, just really? Do it. They ask you to do it.
So, yeah. Yeah. I think the director, yes, most of them have just said, like, hey, man, whatever you want to say or do here, you can do it. So that's been cool. Yeah.
That's way sick.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I've been lucky. Out of all the directors I've worked with, I've yet to find, and I'm sure they're out there, and I know they're out there because I've heard the stories, but I'm yet to find the one who's like, it has got to be word perfect. It has to be just like this. You know, you got to be on this mark. Most of them, I've been fortunate, I guess, to where most of the directors I've worked with, whether it be film or television or on stage, have all been really collaborative. And so, yeah, I've gotten, like, I'm sure the bad ones out there that I'm going to run into at some point. But I'll just deal with them when I get there. But yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So have you, you've had a couple of amazing roles you know, not to name a few, but has there been one that you've been bragging rights? Because like for us, like we're bragging everyone from Just Mercy and that your clip of New Girl, like because we're big fans of New Girl. My sister's a huge fan.
Oh, are you?
And we just like, I just send her clips. I'm like, this is who we're interviewing. This is who we're interviewing. And they're freaking out. And
yeah. And you know, and it's, I'd never seen an episode of New Girl when I booked that. And then, and I was actually working at a bar in LA the night that it aired. And I didn't really think too much of it. And then all of a sudden my phone just got blown up, you know, about 30 minutes after the episode going, man, I just saw you. So I had no idea I had that big of a following, which was really cool. And that was a really fun set to work on. But yeah, Just Mercy for me takes the cake on so many different levels, probably because it's the quote, I don't know how you measure this, but the biggest role I've had to date, but also the relevancy of the story, the fact that it was a true story. The fact that I found out that my character was based on a real guy from the book, not in the context of the script itself, but he was a real guy that Bryan Stevenson interacted with in a prison, and then my self excluded, but the caliber of talent that I got to work with for so many days was pretty amazing. Yeah,
it was. So I remember my wife and I, you know, everything's going on in the world right now, and obviously race has been a really hot topic lately, so we wanted to become more in tune with what was going on because we're out west. Like, it's not, you know, it's not nearly as big of, I don't want to say it's as big of an issue, it's not that, but it hasn't been like something we necessarily grew up with. Like, I have a friend who's black and I've talked to him about it and what it was like, but it's different than it is in the South. So that was
you're right. Yes. Yeah. And so yeah, very much so, because I remember when I, you know, went from Atlanta to LA, it really felt like, in a way, not necessarily a bad or a good way, it just felt like a different world in different. That regard. Because you're right, there wasn't that, I guess, tension.
Right.
That there's, because I, you know, when I was a child back in, you know, say early 90s, when my, because I'm the youngest of five kids. So when all of my siblings were in high school, it got so tense, they shut the high school down for, I think, 3 days. Wow. Because the racial tension was so, yeah. And I vividly remember that, you know, like my parents saying, stay away from that school right now. Like, it just got so bad. So you're right. It's when people ask me about this, the South, and I guess it's nationwide, obviously it's a systemic issue, but I just kind of say racism is alive and well here in the South. Especially, you know, we live just on the outskirts of Atlanta. So it's metropolitan. It's a mixed bowl here in Atlanta, but I mean, you get even as little as like 10, 15 minutes outside of the city and you're in the South and you're in the country. So, right. Yeah. So that's what I thought was so cool. And I'm so fortunate and so lucky that they decided to take a story like Just Mercy and come and shoot it like right here in the South, obviously, because that's where the, you know, Equal Justice Initiative is based out of, is Montgomery. So I love that they came and just shot it right here on location. And it's sad how relevant that story is, considering it took place in the 80s, at least that portion of Bryan Stevenson's life, to know that it's so relevant now. But I guess in a way it's a blessing that maybe it can bring some awareness to people and nothing else, bring awareness to Bryan Stevenson and the work that guy does. Cause he is literally, you know, kind of tagged as like a real life superhero. And he really is. I mean, the man's work is extraordinary that he's done for decades now.
Yeah. We watched the movie, my wife and I, because we were wanting to become more in tune with, you know, how we could be better, how we could help, some of the problems. Yeah. And I remember watching the movie and I was like, we need to interview someone from this. So, you know, I tried Michael B. Jordan, tried Jamie Foxx, you know, really put ourselves out there. No, we didn't. Let me tell you, we didn't even try. No, but I watched your performance and I texted Johnny that night and I was like, Johnny, there's this guy named Hayes McCure. He was in this movie. Like, his character was really cool. I really want to have him on the cast. What can we do to get him? And so Johnny and I started talking, and then we just ended up messaging you because we figured that would be the easiest way.
Sometimes
we're lazy.
I'm glad you guys did. Yeah. And it is, that was such, that set was so interesting because I guess because it's a true story. It's about real, and you know, these are real people that were involved in this. And what the coolest part, at least for me, I feel like all of the talk that's going on now with racism and social justice and the systemic issues that we're having, that we kind of have this little micro version of that on set, you know, back in October of 2018, because during, obviously, the courtroom movie, there's a lot of courtroom scenes and all of us are there, kind of the ensemble's there. And but in between setups and takes or whatnot, we would all be hanging out in this one room, all the cast. And it kind of became this really vulnerable, open dialogue area where Jamie Foxx is talking about the issues that he had growing up in Texas as a young Black man. And then there were Black actors here from Atlanta and from New Orleans. And so it kind of became this really like almost like a town hall type discussion. And it was just really cool. It feels like what's happening now nationwide kind of like started in that room for us, given the, you know, the context of the story. So it was, I guess, really cool. And to be honest, in a good way, a little bit uncomfortable to be sitting in the, in those rooms and hearing all these stories and me just simply being able to admit to myself and go, yeah, never had that happen. Yep, that's never been an issue for me. Like, wow, okay, feeling the privilege pretty hard right now. Let me go, like, grab a coffee.
Right,
totally. But yeah, so it was, it was a really cool experience. And to see, like, Jamie Foxx talking to a younger Black man about his experience and sort of almost, like, guiding him in how to maybe handle whatever's going on in that young man's life. It was a really cool thing.
Right. And that's cool just to, I mean, you know, here you're sitting around, I would call them, you know, they've portrayed superheroes, although I guess Michael B. Jordan's and Jamie Foxx's are a little more on the villain side, but superpowered individuals. Yeah. I mean, really cool actors, you know, Baby Driver, like, for me, it would be like meeting actual heroes. Like, these are people, you know, who I've grown up on and think are just incredible. Right. Was that cool to meet
100%
these actors?
It was, and they were all as gracious as they could be too with their time. And there was Jamie Foxx is Jamie Foxx. That's what was
really
like, he is on. Yeah, oh yeah, and he's holding court and he's telling jokes and that man is like he is a wordsmith, and he is such a good storyteller. Even if it's the most simple thing, he can make it so entertaining. And even in between takes, if it was a short setup, you know, in the courtroom when we were all just hanging out in there, I mean, he turned around to all the background who are in the scene and we're just kind of engaging with them and telling these stories and making everyone laugh. So yeah, it was really cool. Is this correct? Y'all are going to hate me. I'm not a huge comic book or superhero follower, but all three of them have played in like a superhero type movie, correct? Bree, Jamie, and Michael. That is correct, isn't it?
Correct. Yeah. So Jamie Foxx was in The Amazing Spider-Man 2. He was, right. Oh, the electric guy. I can't remember the official name they gave him. Johnny might be able to help me.
That was it, yeah.
Captain Marvel is Brie Larson. And then Michael B. Jordan is Killmonger.
Of course, Killmonger.
Black Panther.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Johnny and Michael, I are... Go ahead.
So just to give you like an example of how good and kind they were with their time is on my last day when I rapped, my oldest sister adopted a son from Ethiopia. And he, Wogini is his name, and he was at the time probably still a huge Black Panther fan, you know, because it still had a lot of buzz around it. And so on my last day set, I wrote out a sign that said, "What's up, Wogini?" And Michael B. at the end of it, he like held up the sign and we took a picture.
Oh, cool.
So like we framed that and sent that to Wogini and to one of my other nephews, Brock, who's a huge Black Panther fan as well. But just to give you an idea of like how they were really great. Everyone on that set, it was a fantastic set to work on. And Destin, the director, I mean, he was great working with my character and finding, because, you know, there's not a ton of dialogue with my character, but there was a lot of, I guess, maybe more nuanced moments that we talked about and sort of this guy Jeremy's story and his journey. And it was fun to get to play out.
Well, my take on your character was that a lot of the characters in the movie didn't have arcs. Some of them definitely did, but like Michael B. Jordan right from the start is a good person. He starts a good person in the story and he ends a good person. He doesn't, I mean, he doesn't have this huge learning curve to go through. Same with Brie Larson, starts a good person, ends a good person.
Yeah.
But your character doesn't necessarily start a good person. You know what I mean?
Like, right. No.
is that hard playing a villain? I'm just curious. Like, I was like, was that weird for you at all to play someone who's, not such a good person?
I was telling someone about this when it released back in January, because they asked the kind of that same question, and I said, well, you know what, man, I said I kind of grew up with a lot of Jeremy's. Like, I mean, really, it's whether that's sad to say or just what it is, I had a lot to go off of in terms of who is this guy and where does he come from. And I actually took a page out of Michael B's script, so to speak, on how to prep for Jeremy, because since he did have a bit of a journey, and you're right, he starts in a pretty unsavory place. I thought, well, I've got to get there, and I have to believe that this is, you know, this is how I believe, and these are the viewpoints that I have towards Black people, and I've got to get there. And I watched an off camera with Sam Jones. I don't know if y'all are familiar with that podcast. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic podcast, and Michael B. Jordan was on it back towards the beginning of it. And he was given a tip by another actor, I forget who it was, about journaling as your character, not necessarily writing a backstory of I was born here, but literally taking a moment, a slice of life out of that character's life and just journaling about it and talking about feelings and what it was. So I kind of took that approach because I'd heard that interview long ago. And so when I got this role, I thought, I'm going to try this journaling thing. I've never done it. And that really let me take a step into Jeremy's shoes, was to just begin journaling maybe why, at the start of the story for me, why I felt this way towards Black people and why I even had this job. And it was a challenge, but being able to do that and to find compassion even for someone like this and why they feel this way, because obviously I'm sure you've heard before, like, you know, the worst thing an actor can do is judge their character.
Right.
Because as soon as we do that, we can't really, there's a separation, there's a gap. Once we start placing judgment on that person. And I remember one of my earlier acting classes, someone saying, well, how do you play a serial killer? You know, how does someone do that? And it's just like anything else. You have to, everyone believes that what they're doing. Not many people believe that I'm an asshole, what I'm doing is wrong here.
Right.
Maybe we have moments of that, but for the most part, we feel that what we are doing is the right thing to do and it's justified. And maybe even it's divine that we're being led to do something. So I think that's the trick or the key in a role like this. If it necessarily doesn't resonate with you from the beginning, you go, oh yeah, I know this guy is. I think and feel and eat just like him. You got to find a way in there and somehow say, okay, well, this is how I feel and this is what I say in this role. What would it take for me, Hayes, to get to that point and kind of work from that place? So it's a fun process. And it's nerve-wracking too, because it never ever feels complete or right. And you just kind of do it on the day and whatever comes out, you just, it's stuck there forever. So you just hope that it's worthwhile.
Right. Well, I have to tell you, you did a really good job, because so spoiler warning for just this next like 10 seconds, but there's a scene where you have Michael B. Jordan strip search because you won't let him into the prison until he does. And I remember, like, you got a rise out of me. Like, I was ticked. I was like, I wanted to jump into the screen and like punch that security guard. Like, it was so messed up. So it was a really good job showing like something that, you know, if it was a white guy who'd shown up, he wouldn't have had to go through that, you know?
Right.
And so for me, that was like, whoa, it was a crazy scene. It was, I don't know. What was it like kind of filming that? Were you,
it was,
sorry if that's too personal or whatever.
No, not at all. It was, luckily, and there was a scene that didn't make the final cut for us, but it was kind of a more of a follow-up with our interaction towards the end of the movie. But luckily, we shot that part first, and then we moved into the strip search room. So we and it was my last day on set, so Michael B and I had been around each other for a while there. But yeah, I mean, there was we both I think kind of quote went there, and we got to this place in that room where it was tense, and luckily, you know, it was a quote closed set in that regard. So there was minimal people in the room with this. And so we kind of just stayed in that headspace, I think, for the duration of shooting that scene. And I guess as best I could, just let myself go there and kind of just blame him for, you know, the fact that, yeah, if you want to get in here, this is what you got to do to get in this place. And kind of let myself go there, and I was sure to give him a huge hug after we were and kind of like hug out all the racism. if there's such a thing, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, you did a great job in terms of, you know, it was super eye-opening for someone like me where, like, it was really cool. It was really an interesting scene. And you give him a look as you're leaving the room, and I'm just like, oh, that man, I hate that man. You know what I mean? Like,
I do. Yeah, I mean, that's funny. We worked on that little end moment there for a bit because we were trying to figure like what would be, what is this final moment? And yeah, of But it's such a, it's again, myself excluded, but it's such a good scene in the regard that it allows for Michael B to have that moment of rebuilding himself.
Right.
And knowing that this is what I'm into here in the South. This is not Harvard. Like, this is real. And that's what, because that is a slice of life. And unfortunately here in the South.
Yeah, it was so, like, again, what I said, you know, someone who's from out West, that was really eye opening and it was really cool. And I really enjoyed the film. I've been talking a lot, in case you can't tell, like, I got really into the film. And yeah.
Oh, that's,
so,
yeah.
I was,
well, cool,
I was,
man. No, that's great. Yeah.
I was so excited we were going to interview
at
you.
At least it's like, yeah. And again, I think that's so cool that we're even having this conversation, because then there's a little bit of awareness here with us. And then whomever listens to this will have, hopefully maybe it sparks a little more awareness, and not that it's going to be the, you know, end all be all to fix things here. But I think obviously if you look at the, I'm going to get nerdy here for a minute, like the education continuum, as I see it, obviously starts with awareness and education and knowledge. And so, but without that knowledge, we have to have that awareness to spark the, maybe the curiosity to go find knowledge. So yeah, if nothing else, I think, and I love what Warner Brothers did with making it free on all platforms for the month of June.
So sick.
It was such a classy move on their part, because so many people, I think, got to check that out that otherwise, you know, everyone's tight on the dollar right now. So to be able to go watch that for free, given everything that's going on right now, was pretty timely. Yeah.
Yeah, people have free time to watch it too. So that helped. Like, they took advantage of
exactly
people having time.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So yeah, we have a long way to go, obviously. But I think every little building block in some form or fashion will hopefully kind of directly or indirectly get us in the direction we need to be going in.
Yeah, and I like how you pointed it out too, and we'll nerd it up a little bit too. Like, when we have our, when you read a supervillain, like, in his head he's doing the right thing. Like,
right.
Your character in his head thought he was doing the right thing.
100%.
And then you can see his aspect of it too, because it'd be like, oh, so this is where he's coming from. It's not right, but this is where he's coming from. And I just liked how you, like, were able to turn on a dime and do it. That's what's amazing with you actors. Like, you guys can just turn on a dime, do it, and then, like, a second later, hug it out. Like, if Jay did that to me, I wouldn't talk to him for, like, a month at least.
Yeah. And, you know, and I suppose there's some actors who, they don't turn it off so quick. And it sits with them and they carry it with them, like, I guess, like a Daniel Day-Lewis, right? Who's going to, you just probably want to give him a space after a scene like that and maybe just catch up with him next month.
Right.
But yeah, luckily there was still, I guess, a sense of play throughout the entire process. And I think too, when you get in maybe tense scenes like that, I think too, is a good reminder to just always to tell ourselves just to serve the story. And you're there to serve the story and kind of put ego aside and say, I'm here to tell this person's side of the story, and then let the audience make their determination, you know, about all of it.
Have you, this is switching gears just slightly, but have you ever considered or wanted to play kind of like a serial killer? I may or may not have been watching Hannibal on Netflix. So I'm curious, like, if that was that a route you'd ever wanted to take, or even playing like a pretty big villain, like a legitimate villain? Is that one?
I think so. But it scares the hell out of me. But it's because there are some roles, what am I saying? There's a multitude of roles where I look at and I'll watch someone do a performance and I go, yeah, I'm not there. I'm not. Nope. I am not at that level yet. Hopefully yet. But it's so, yes, I would love to. But also I would go, how would I even start? And I guess it's the same way I was just talking about. Maybe I'll start journaling and kind of figuring out why I'm getting to this point of being a villain or a serial killer or whatever it is. I would want to attempt it for the challenge, but I think I would be just deathly terrified to watch the final product.
We'll show everyone this video to say, he's a really nice guy. We swear. Yeah. We promise you. Don't let the beard fool you. He is a gem.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Exactly. Yeah. Just like, say, look at his huge smile he's always wearing for some reason. Yeah.
Yeah. Does it bother you to watch yourself on TV, or are you okay with it?
Initially, I would imagine, unless you're a bit of a narcissist, any actor watching themselves for the first time is pretty mortified.
Sorry,
at least
funny.
I was mortified. And I still get uncomfortable. There was an episode of a show that I shot called American Soul on BET about Don Cornelius, who created Soul Train. And an episode of that aired sometime this week. I forget the Friday, I think. Anyway, but it aired. And even now, yeah, I wanted to go see if the footage, you know, from a practical standpoint, is like worth using on my demo reel or whatnot. But yeah, there's still this, I guess, angsty anticipation when you're going to watch it, because you never know, you know, it's up to, I heard someone say it best. I think it was William H. Macy, who obviously has had, you know, decades long of an acting career. And once he got onto the director's side, he said, I very quickly learned, that my job as an actor really is I'm just going, even on the day that we're taping, is it's just a big rehearsal. And he said, the story isn't told on set. The story is told when the director and the editor and the composer and everyone else and the producers, they all take that away. And then they make it the story that it's going to be. So as an actor, it's a bit nerve wracking because you're just, and I tried to, I actually listened to that right before doing Just Mercy. So I tried to adopt that mentality of I'm just coming in here and I'm just going to rehearse and play. And they're going to happen to have the cameras rolling and then they're going to take it away and make it what it is. But that, so that's, if you're a slight control freak like myself, that's tough to just do it and say, here it is, it's yours now. I did my part and hopefully it's what you want.
That's so cool. Do you want to jump, Johnny, into some of our Q&A?
I want my Q&A real quick because I love how that movie set, because you were there for, was that your longest set you were with Just Mercy?
I think so. I think it was 12, 13 days, something like okay. that. Yeah.
So how was it like doing like a New Girl set? Like, were you even there enough to like interact with anyone, or was it just like boom, boom?
It's so fast, you know, and that's the difference, especially with like comedy television. It's so fast, you know, compared to a story like Just Mercy where they really took their time. But yeah, just New Girl was a blur. I mean, I think I worked a couple days on that one, but I had more interaction really with the director, Lynn Shelton, who unfortunately just passed recently, but and she was wonderful to work with. But no, in terms of like the main cast of that show, they kind of just come in and do their thing, and then you're shuffled somewhere and they go somewhere as well. So that was a quick hitting one, but
that's cool. That's cool. The TV, like, that you have both experiences, because like some people, yeah, so that's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, yeah. As they say, I guess the age old thing with TV is it just make your day. Apparently, is like sort of the motto with directors: just make your day, just don't get behind, and just get a shot. Yeah.
All right, Jay. Do you want to start off with these amazing questions? We have a loyal base of knights, what we call them. Anyone awesome. Who listens to our podcast, and we'll throw out questions, and yeah, we'll see what happens.
Great. Yeah. Yeah. Let's do it.
Let me get a, sorry, Johnny's. Let me just pull
this
up real quick.
I'll do one for you here real quick. This was my personal one because we are nerdy. Is there a superhero you would like to portray on screen? Or is there someone who'd be like, because you're a very handsome man. I'm safe enough to admit
no.
You can be a superhero.
If I go five shades of red, forgive me. you know what it is? And this is probably a dumb answer, but it's going to be an honest answer. It would be Spider-Man.
That's awesome.
Simply because I'm terrified of heights. And it would be like this opportunity to get over that. I'm more at snakes, and heights are my pitfalls. And so that's probably, that's a lame answer. But
no, that's a great answer. You'd make an amazing Peter Parker.
It almost gives me anxiety watching a Spider-Man movie because of the big drops and the swings. And but that would be it, just to see like what it would be like to have no fear of heights in that regard.
Well, you've actually been in a movie with one of the Spider-Men. I don't know if you knew that, but the guy who plays Nick Miller on New Girl, not in a movie, sorry, in a TV show, but on New Girl, Nick Miller plays Peter B. Parker in
it's a voice.
Yeah, he does the voice work for one of the Spider-Men in the Spider-Verse.
There you go. I guess that's like my one degree.
Yeah, yeah, you're one role from it, you know?
Yeah. I'll call him up after this.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, my question comes from Memes by Kangaroo, and this is kind of going in line with the handsome bit we just did. Let's take it to six shades.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever told him he looks a little like Ryan Gosling? Have you ever gotten that?
I have, and for whatever reason, that makes me feel really because he's a beautiful man. Let's
right.
just be honest, right? Like Ryan Gosling, his demeanor, his look—he's just a beautiful man. So it makes me, I feel almost quote arrogant saying, yeah, actually I do get that one often. It's that one and Armie Hammer, is sort of the, well, and as of late, because of this guy and this getting longer, a few people have said, and I'll take it because it has nothing to do with me. It's who they're comparing me to. But Bradley Cooper's been the latest one. They're like, ooh, you know what? Yeah, well, Bradley Cooper thing with beard and the hair. And so I'm like, guys, just keep it coming. Like,
yeah. The more handsomer, the better. I'll take it.
You're right. Yeah, I've gotten one time that I was a bit offended by, and I wish I could remember it. Someone's like, have you ever told you look like? And I was like, no, man, you're the first, and I hope like it's the last. That's not a good one. But and maybe to protect privacy, I won't say who the actor was because I can't remember anyway. But I remember actually being a bit offended.
Right.
Like, nope, I haven't. And we'll keep that between us.
Right.
So here's another question: have you been on set since COVID? If so, has it been different?
I wish I had, but I haven't. No. It's still just a ghost town here. I had a Georgia Lottery commercial audition yesterday. So if I happen to get that one, then that'll be the first set that I've been on since the shutdown. So I wish I could speak to that, but no, I just know there's a lot of guidelines out, and I think everyone's really scared to insure a set right now because of the liability. So no, I haven't been on one, but I'm curious, I think, to get on one just to see what the new world is going to be, because I have a feeling it's going to be like that for the foreseeable future, for anyone to get back to work.
That's true. It'd be hard to social distance with a scene partner who's right next to you.
I know. I did hear someone throw out that soap operas are going to be using dummies for intimate scenes.
Oh,
so that's going to be weird and really tough to hide. I guess they have to get their kisses in. So yeah.
The magic of soap operas.
That's probably pure rumor. But when I heard that, I went, God, that's kind of like the, speaking of Bradley Cooper, I guess it's like the baby in American Sniper thing. Like, it's going to be so obvious that it's not real. But yeah, I guess they're doing whatever they can do to get back on the air.
I love that. All right. So this one comes from one of our friends. He's a filmmaker. Well, we're going to use the term loosely. He's a filmmaker out in Wyoming. He's a recent grad, but his name's Ellie West. Anyway, he said, what are the greatest and hardest things about the world of acting?
Man, that's a good question. That's a big question.
Yeah. So feel free to condense it. I know it's a can of worms.
I will say, yeah, maybe I'll start with the good and then with the bad, supposedly. For me, the pinnacle for me that acting could get to, if for me personally or as us as like a community of actors, is this idea that if we can hold a mirror up and let someone catch a little bit of a glimpse of themselves in you, in the work, I think that to me is like the greatest, not only challenge, but reward. If that ever happens, of course, as actors, you never really know if you're resonating with someone or if you're connecting with someone on that level. But I think our job as actors, and even I won't even say actors, storytellers as a whole, anyone involved, because there's so many people involved, and that's what I love about it too, is how collaborative it is. But the idea that if we can remind someone, even if briefly, if we can remind someone of their own humanity in that moment, I think to me that's the whole point of all of this. Never mind, the trailers and the big contracts and the red carpets. That's fine, sure, but that kind of just feeds your ego a little bit, not a little bit, a lot. It can get out of control. But I think if I were to like boil it down, it's like, what is the point of all of this? Is it if you can remind someone of their humanity, even if just for a moment, then I think it makes what we do worthwhile. And on the other side, the bad part about it is, I guess, the if you're one who likes variety and you like uncertainty, then it's a great career to go into. But the uncertainty and the ambiguity and sort of the I call it the audition vacuum of, you're just throwing stuff out there. And most of the time, you know, if you're someone who needs feedback and you need maybe some validation and reassurance, it could be a really brutal industry to be in. Which is the irony, is that most actors, I think by nature, we want validation and we want, you know, to be told how great we are. And there's probably some therapy to be hashed out there with all of us. And that's why we're in this in the first place. So to not get that on a 99.9% basis, that's tough to deal with. And then you throw in something like COVID now. And so, you know, you've got, I guess that is happening for so many people's professions. You have so much that they've invested into this, and so much training and years of dedication. And now it's just at a standstill, and you're kind of going, what do I do with this now? But yeah, I guess the being told no far more times than you're being told yes. That can, it does grate on you. And, you know, I get really frustrated when actors say, like, don't take it personally. No, this is a personal business. And you're going out there and you're offering, again, a piece of your humanity in this, even if it's a one-page audition. So to have someone say, nah, you're not what we're looking for, or you know what, no, we're going to go in a different direction, or you're too tall, or whatever it is, how can it not resonate with you on a personal level? I think that the trick is to process that and get through it quickly and get back to the business of it. But yeah, that's probably the downer side of this business.
That's cool.
Which is probably a common answer, I would imagine, for a lot of actors. It's the constantly being told no.
That's great that you're honest.
Or it's something where you don't even know an audition you did 3 years ago now in some weird way to someone remembers you, and you know, you hear those stories all the time. So I don't know, maybe it's not a being told no, maybe it's just the understanding that, you know, they say, you know, it takes 10 years to become an overnight success type of mentality, that you just got to stick around.
No, that's great, because rejection sucks for anybody. So I don't,
it does. Yeah,
I don't put it as anything. Yeah, like even us rejecting, like when we DM people for this, like, some, yeah, they don't even read it, and we're like, oh, bummer.
Like it hits with you. Yeah, yeah. It lands with you.
We're like,
yeah.
Oh, people don't even open our message, but I mean, they probably get tens of thousands. And so whenever we meet someone cool that like replies to us, we get giddy. Little schoolgirl,
yeah,
kitty.
Yeah, no, well, it's the same thing with me when I get that email from the agent that, hey, they're interested. I mean, yeah, like, they're cartwheel. Because it's probably good though, right? Because if we're told no so much, we should probably take a moment to celebrate every little victory to keep us going.
I got a question from Sarah the cosplayer. Have you had any awkward interactions with fans or anything when you're walking the have you done a red carpet yet or anything?
I did for Just Mercy.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think, have I had any awkward, I guess, I don't know if this is awkward, but the strangest, like, quote, sighting that I've had was a guy wanding me in the TSA line for a flight. Like he's doing the, you know, he's going, yeah. He goes, hey, by the way, were you in such and such a field? It was. I said, yeah, man. It was a really obscure role too. So clearly he was like a big fan of the show or whatever it was. But that was probably the most awkward, hey, are you an actor? As he's like searching me down for a ball. It's like, yeah. So that was probably, that takes the cake.
That's hopefully you don't get one referencing Just Mercy while they're doing this for you, because that would be kind of
yeah,
awkward.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. This one comes in from Ches Green 21. Did you know the story of the main characters of Just Mercy before you auditioned, or was it something you learned after auditioning?
I didn't, sadly. It's a bit embarrassing. I knew nothing of Bryan Stevenson prior to this audition, and nothing of the story. And that egotistical actor side of me just saw that Jamie Foxx and Michael B. Jordan were in it, and I went, oh man, this is one I want, right? But as soon as I did get it, I immediately went out and bought the book. And just to educate myself on who Bryan Stevenson was and Walter McMillan and all these people in this story. So yeah, no, sadly I didn't know. I thank God that I do now.
Yeah,
that I know who this guy is. Yeah,
that's cool. That's cool for you to come into the story not knowing. I mean, in one way, like, I mean, it would have been cooler if you'd known it, but it is in its own way makes it more interesting. In some areas.
Yeah. You're right. I guess I had a chance to evolve a little bit there as a human being and learn something about someone who's doing some really great work literally next door in Alabama. And
right.
I was completely unaware.
That's so cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I think we've got two
questions
more.
We've answered during. That's our problem of having great conversations with you.
Or yeah, I was going to say with someone who talks nonstop like me. Yeah, I probably.
No, we love it. We have a hard time like getting, when we say goodbye, we just keep going and going. So we always tell people like, just tell us to shut up. We just like talking too much.
No. That's a testament to you all. That people just keep going.
Yeah. Realizing, you know, we have a podcast, so we're okay with lots of talking.
Yeah.
Maybe, Johnny, you got one more? I've got one more.
I'll just ask a personal one. What is there stuff that you are working in Atlanta? Like, is there something? Because like Walking Dead is there. Like, there's a lot of shows there. Is there stuff that you would love to be a part of? I mean, I know that's easy.
I would love. Yeah, that one's like the unicorn for me. The Walking Dead. I've auditioned for it so many times.
Because you'd pull off a great with that beard and that hair. Now maybe you should try to show more of a survivor look.
Been so cut. And I've always thought that's why I'm not grungy enough for that show or whatever. So maybe now if it comes back and I'll keep this look for a bit. But that one's like the white whale that I can't quite catch. but would love to, just because yeah, it's just it's such a cool show, and it has a lot of exposure, and so that would be fun. Yeah, but unfortunately, no, I'm not working on anything right now. I don't think much of anyone is. Yeah, so.
All right, my last question comes in from Macy Morty. What actor would you like to work with in the future?
Man, that's a good question too.
You've worked with so many cool ones. Like, I was looking through your list and I was like, holy cow. Like,
I've gotten lucky. Yeah, I have gotten lucky. Tons. You know what? Tom Hardy.
Really?
And yeah, and I think it's because of his intensity. Because I've, you know, you hear stories about actors and you know, he's maybe one of those ones you're not going to go give a hug to right after a scene and hug it out. But I think, yeah, I love him as an actor. I know some people, you know, he's not their cup of tea, but I if Tom Hardy's in it, I'm going to give it a watch. I'm going to give it a go and give it a try because I love how intense that man is. And so I would love to see how I would react to being around that intense of an actor on set and being out and, you know, staying in my world of the character and doing my work. But with someone who's, I guess he's almost volatile, isn't he? Like, he has a volatility about him, right? That he's almost like a powder keg that, which I think would just be really, I don't know. It might be a nightmare. Who knows?
Yeah.
I might like run off crying on set. But I think it'd be a really, fun thing to work with someone who clearly, cares about the work and takes it seriously and is so intense in that process. Yeah.
Well, you talked earlier about how, you know, a lot of your character in Just Mercy was a lot of, I think you used the term semantics, meaning, you know, a lot of facial expressions, a lot of acting outside of movement. And Hardy is like the king of that. Like, if you look at Bane, if you look at, there's a movie called Warrior, there's a lot of roles he takes where he's not talking a ton. Like, he's not a very dialogue-based actor, but you can get so much from his face.
You're right. The subtlety that he brings to every role is you're right. It's fantastic. He can tell the whole story with his eyes. And I think any good actor can do that. And there's so, I mean, there's a laundry list of actors who work from that place. And, but yeah, maybe that's it too. It's sort of this subtle volatility that he works out of. And I heard an interview one time and it's really, he's kind of like a Mike Tyson. You know, Mike Tyson always said the reason he was so vicious in the ring was because he was so afraid. You know, he was terrified of not only his opponent, he was terrified of being beaten, terrified of letting, you know, his trainer down. Like, he worked out of fear. And you think, how was that guy afraid? He was, you know, he was like a bulldog in the ring and one of the greatest of all time to do it. But I heard Tom Hardy, or not heard, I read an article one time where he said, you know, the reason I'm like, it's because I'm so afraid to not bring justice to who this person is. I'm so afraid to not bring justice to the story that I mean, I'm 1,000% in. Because they're, and if that rubs people the wrong way, get over it. Because I'm here to serve this story and the character, and I'm terrified that I won't do that. So I think it's a really, I don't know, it's humbling to hear someone say that.
Our producer Guillermo handed me one more question. I don't even know how we forgot this one. Okay, so if just a quick scenario, if you randomly met someone who was, let's say, a master of light, beautiful creature, and then you met someone who's like a master of death, kind of dark, who would you befriend? Out of those two,
it would be the light. It would be the light. Now, is that you?
Yeah, that's me. Oh. Part of our podcast, Dead Light Nerds, and I'm light, and he's dead. Yeah, that's our surname.
Yeah. So that it would be. I think probably just based on my personality and what. Yeah, it's. I guess my wife, when she first met me, she said, "You know what you are." So know what. She, and I don't know where this came from, she said, "You are sunshine and whiskey."
Yeah, I can see that.
Okay, all right. And so anyway, yeah. So I guess I would have to default to the light. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I was gonna say, because you could work with Tom Hardy if he's so volatile, your brightness would like just offset him. You guys could just mesh really well.
Yeah, yeah.
Just or calm him down.
Kick me in the stomach and tell me to go. It's like, this guy, if he smiles one more time, that's it.
I love
He's like, "I dare you to smile. I dare you one more time to smile."
Right. If you were ever wondering about our name, it's just a play on our surnames. Johnny's last name is Luz. Mine's Mortimer. So if you take the Latin roots, it's death and light. So we always play with that. And so we have jokes around it and stuff. So just in case.
What, like, a cool coincidence. Like, the idea that, like, the Latin root words of that are like death. That's really cool.
Yeah.
We were meant to do
this. This was meant to be. I was going to say, this podcast was written long before we were here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's pretty sweet. Well, we're for sure going to send you some merch. My wife's a graphic designer, so yeah, so we get
very cool.
Yeah,
we so is mine actually. She does
really?
Yeah.
Oh, so many coincidences.
Again, this was written long before us guys.
That's really cool. I think I'm pretty jealous of what she does, like in terms of like I ask her to make something and then it, I don't know. She's done some really cool stuff lately. So we'll send you some. We just ordered some new stickers, some new shirt designs. So we'll send you some stuff.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, we got to get you a little nerdier, you know. We've got the Dunder Mifflin shirt, but we need a few more things.
I'll work on it, yeah.
Yeah.
What's your favorite? Who's your favorite character on The Office? I keep seeing that shirt. Just out of curiosity, who would you? It's hard to pick one.
You know what? It is. It's probably cliche to say Jim.
No, but, I like it.
But it is. I think probably because I maybe relate to him the most. Out of I mean, he kind of plays the straight man anyway. But yeah, it was. But I will say this, y'all. So you talk about like having like a fanboy moment. So I'm big into boxing, and I was boxing at a gym in L.A. for a long time. Got Ricky's Boxing, the awesome place, right off Ventura. And lo and behold, Oscar walks in.
No way.
And he started training there. Yeah, and he and I developed this. I'm going to say it. We developed a friendship. Now, he might go, nope, we were gym acquaintances. But so much so that he actually, when our daughter was born, he and his wife bought a 94. So you know what? Oh, yes, we're officially
friends.
So,
yeah.
For friends, sure. Yeah. Friend level.
But that was like, I was like gushing. I was like, I can't believe this is Oscar from The Office. But he's a super, super nice guy. And we used to have some pretty good conversations back in L.A. So.
And his name is Oscar in real life.
It is, yeah. Oscar Nunez, right? I believe is his last name. So, yeah, that's his name in real life. And really, really cool guy. And it's so funny, man. You know, we do get cast for who we are because I would be talking to him and I would go, that was so Oscar. To say that or to look like that. Like,
did
that
he correct you?
Oscar moment, yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So, yeah.
Cool. That's cool. It's cool. You nerd out with your peers. I love it.
Yeah, man. You have to. You got to make this as fun as you can. There's too much bad out there. You got to find the good or the light. Like, there you go. Talking about
light. Yes.
You got to find, even if it's a little sliver of it, you got to find it, right? Especially now. Good Lord. It is a hell of a time to be alive.
That's true.
So,
yeah, escapism is huge for us. That's why we're so, I mean, we're lucking out because people are more willing to do remote podcasts because they're bored. So we would turn that to a positive for us.
Great. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. As you should. Good for y'all.
We really appreciate you. Just kind of on that same note, like you talk about getting starstruck with Oscar. For me, it's a dream come true. I'm a huge movie buff. I wouldn't say I have a photographic memory for movies, but it's a hair short of it. Like I can remember lines and everything else. So for me to watch you like, I don't know, to watch you on the film and then to have you come onto our cast, it's like a dream come true for me. Like,
I was
gushing when you replied back. I was like, Johnny, you replied, and I was texting Johnny all
you're
night.
Sweet to say that. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's humbling to hear because I wouldn't put much stock in who I am in my work. I try to keep it as low key as I can. So to hear that is there's that validation that the actor needs. Right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You just kept me going for like another 5 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect. We will praise you to death.
Yeah, there you put just enough fuel in the tanks to keep me going.
Yeah. It's like the ego in Community. You know, Jeff has that ego and it's growing out of control. That's what we're trying to feed for you. Yeah, we want to see
if you
that.
Put on aviators right now, I would go to the floor. That's how flabbergasted we are with your aura.
Yeah.
Even your shadow right now would just kill us. Oh.
That's awesome. No, it's truly my pleasure, guys. I couldn't think of a better way to spend a Saturday. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Hayes, we can't thank you enough. Like, not only are you just amazing and cool to talk with, and you have a great beard, Office fan, everything we need. And you're just good awesome. Deal. Like, it's like we're always like really scared before we do this. Like, is he going to be cool? Is he going to be nice? And then, like, millisecond in, we're like, yes.
I'm gonna play that clip back for my wife over and
good,
over.
Good.
Yeah. Whenever the next argument comes up, I'm just going to turn it back around and say, you know what? Here's what someone else has to say.
Yeah, they think I'm amazing.
Yeah. Like, so get off my back. Yeah. That's no, awesome. Thank you guys. It's been my seriously genuine pleasure. It's great.
Cool. And we can't wait to have you back when you star in the new Spider-Man movie, because I'll push it. We'll start a Twitter war for it. You'll be there, amazing, Peter Parker.
Love it. I'll retweet. I got to get better on Twitter, but I'll definitely retweet that one. Yeah.
Our Twitter game is really poor because
it's really bad too.
We're Instagram. We're pretty big on Instagram, and pretty big. We're getting bigger on YouTube. We're big in the podcast game, but our Twitter, we don't do a whole lot of tweeting.
I know, man. That one intimidates me. It's vast and it's a bit humiliating because I've done like I'll tweet something, right? And to get one like, which is ridiculous. That's not even the whole point of this, but there is that little dopamine hit that you want to see those likes go up,
Right.
Let's be honest. That's why we're doing it in some regard. So yeah, Twitter is humbling, buddy, because you can shoot something out there and you think it's a gem of a tweet.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just crickets.
Yeah.
We think it's so clever. We're so clever. And then like 2 weeks later, oh, no one else thinks we're clever. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Or you got the loyal friend who will always like, yeah. And you're like, all right, I'll just take that and go.
Yeah. I'll give you the like, get off my back.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
No, but so as we grow as a podcast and then when you're, headlining in a huge blockbuster film, we'd love to do this again. Over the course after things obviously pick
anytime.
Back up, but we'd love to have you back on.
Yeah, anytime, our mantra guys. Is to ride the coattails of famous people. So get ready.
Oh, that's mine too.
Okay, again, good.
This was written long ago. Yeah.
We are not ashamed. We will ride anyone's coattails.
Hey, success leaves clues, so we'll keep following the clues.
Love it.
Yeah.
To the point of bragging, that's probably the thing we're best at, riding coattails.
Good. Well, you're in good company.
So, yeah.
Good. We'll definitely have to do this again.
Cool.
And we do require you you're our friend now. And we usually, if you're nice enough to get on here, we master you. Jay, what do you want to give him a master of?
I was going to say something like authority. I don't know, just as a joke. Cause he plays all these, cops and everything else. Like, I don't know.
First responder, master of first responding.
I don't know. Yeah.
We'll put it out on the page.
I want to call him the master of sunshine because of his wife.
There we go. Yeah.
Master of sunshine.
Hey,
and he picked light. So
yeah.
Sunshine and whiskey. Master of sunshine and whiskey.
My wife would love that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Let her know you're the master.
She'll be super flattered. Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Mercer you guys is now the master of sunshine and whiskey.
Yeah.
It does fit you well. So we love it. So props to your wife for helping us on that.
Yeah. Very cool. I'll tell her. Yeah. I'm literally going to go make her day when I tell her that. So.
Cool, Hayes. Well, we'll stay in touch. And it was so good to talk to you.
Yeah. Thanks.
Likewise, guys. My pleasure, guys. My pleasure. And stay safe out there. And hopefully this world's going to open back up one day and we'll get back to work. Yeah.
With your positive attitude, it will. I believe it.
Awesome. Likewise, guys. Thanks again. And have a good weekend.
Thank you. All right, see you on the flippity flop nights.
Bye.